Here we go. We're rolling. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Two chairs and a microphone. I am in the studio, and we're on TV. We're videotaping
it's like TV now. It's the nuts. Thing.
I'm with this guy, this homeless guy.
How you doing?
He's got an Atari, and he begs. We were talking about this.
I'm begging for money while I have hundreds of dollars of electronics in my hand. Wonderful.
And this is Anthony Cumia of formerly of the Open Anthony Show, now the Anthony Cumia Show, where you can get it at anthonycumia.com.
Yes, my name can't be put out there enough.
Yeah, exactly. And he has his Rand Paul haircut.
Yeah, it's Rand Paul. I was also thinking from Good Times of Florida. Florida from Good Times, because I'm getting a little white there. I have to have a touch-up.
Yeah.
And also a little, well, it's too curly for Robert Kardashian, but again, the gray.
Yeah, but the curl's good because, you know, you could go in blackface and be a black guy.
I did. I was talking about how awful my father thought my hair was. Like, growing up, I just had a big afro.
Really?
It was in the 70s, and my dad was just like, colored people hair. You know, it's the old Italian. Right.
My uncle hated black people. Italian neighborhood in Providence, Rhode Island. And he was a dentist. And he went to Georgetown Dentistry School. Like, a brilliant guy.
Uh-huh.
But, like, that generation had this view that, like, black people were lazy and they didn't work. And they were right. And then, so my uncle, like, wouldn't wait on black people. And one time, I was helping him. I was, like, I don't know, 11 or 12, and we were in the back room of his dentist's office Saturday cleaning stuff up, and black guy comes in with a toothache, and my uncle's like, motherfucking fuck, but I don't even want to say what he actually said.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Like, you know. I've heard it at my house.
And he took up, he was a chain smoker. He smoked viceroys, and my uncle took like a work shirt, gets a mop and a bucket. I'm just looking like, what the fuck? What? And he goes into the waiting area, and he just starts mopping the bucket, looking like a custodian, like just mopping the floor, right? Mopping, and then like a couple of minutes go by, awkward pause, and like then all of a sudden the black guy goes, hey, is the dentist in? And my uncle's like, nope, gone for the day. And
shit.
I got up and walked out.
But he was the dentist.
He was the dentist, and he figured out how to be racist in a really smart way. Like,
yeah, well, you know what? He was a courteous racist.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, yeah, you could have just said, work on your car.
I don't care. Yeah, go back to where you remember.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, I'll fool this guy.
He was out of his mind. He was like, yeah, they should put them all on a super tanker and just let them out to sea. Like, he was out of his mind.
I've had some relatives like that.
But he'd also work on you while he smoked viceroys. Like, he would smoke
as he's doing dental.
And the ash would fall on your chin. You know, there's that bib they give you.
Yeah, it's an ash bib.
And he'd have, like, you know, like how the smoke goes in your eye, and be like, the goddamn politicians don't know anything. And it's like that long, and then at some point he moved his head a little bit, and the whole ash would fall. One time, part of it went in my mouth. Part of it went in my
mouth.
Really? Yeah, it was like, fuck, he was out of his mind.
Good for your gums. Don't worry about it.
Makes a man out of you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You should be smoking these too.
What are you doing, you pussy? You're only 12. You're 12 now. You're ready? Come on.
Yeah, come on.
That whole generation, man, was just, like, insane.
It's nuts. I love checking out.
You grew up on Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I want my listeners to learn. I mean, they know you, but get to know you.
Yeah, Long Island, Suffolk County, out in Huntington.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Italian on both sides, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was nice, you know, suburban, total nice suburban areas where very white neighborhoods, white schools.
Right.
And it was fun, you know. I think back, it was fun. But you know, I knew my family was kind of screwed up. You know, mom and dad didn't get along very well, and all that kind of stuff. But
they divorce?
Oh yeah, yeah. They got divorced.
That's rare. That generation doesn't divorce usually.
I think they were just past that generation that didn't divorce.
Oh,
like they were. Yeah,
my parents were, because we had a furniture store working all the time together. So my father just chose to die.
That was it. Get out of this.
Really, did he had a heart attack?
Oh,
and I think probably when he was laying there going, it's not so bad.
Oh well, at least I'm not divorced.
I don't have to hear this anymore. Because my mother's like very like out like in charge. Started a business as a woman, like very much. And my father was more like laid back, so whatever. But were your parents similar or different?
They were pretty different. It was one of those, you know, she got knocked up and they had to get married.
Mm.
And
did they have you? Were you the product?
No, my brother was.
So you're in the
the middle. Yeah, and then I have a younger sister.
Oh, see, I'm the youngest of three.
Years. It was just, we're all within like 2 years of each other.
So they got married and they rave with the
The kids. And then my dad was just, you know, notorious for womanizing and
really?
Out drinking and having a good time.
How old were you when you realized he was doing that?
It took a long time. Like even into my early teens, I didn't quite know what the problem was. I just knew, oh, they didn't get along. They were constantly arguing.
And you were at the bus station and your dad was banging a chick from behind.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, hey, look at this. Dad likes to
fuck. Fucking public.
Yeah, he likes to
random women.
It was, so I figured it out after a while. I went out to California to live with him for a few years, too.
What was he doing out there?
He wanted to go out and be a cowboy.
What?
Pretty much what he
An
wanted.
Italian guy from Long Island?
Just, yeah, he had it.
Hey, rustle up the fucking cattle, will ya?
What the fuck? I'm trying to rope this cow over here.
Yeah. Well, you won't come. Anyway, I don't like the black cows, by the way.
Yeah, get them.
And I don't want those black and white ones either. They got to be brown or white. All right, brown's.
Mixing.
No mixing.
He just wanted to.
Work on a ranch? What
get
do you mean a
away
cowboy?
From everything that was New York. Yeah. So he moved out to California. At first, he lived in like Laguna Beach, which was a real kind of hippie area. And then he moved to San Juan Capistrano, where the swallows come back every year.
Yeah.
It's a very equestrian town. He got horses. He wound up being the caretaker of like a bunch of acres of hills and fences and cattle.
In California?
Yeah, in Southern California.
What was his job back
here? That was kind
here?
Of his job. Was like,
no, in Long Island,
here, he did everything from fixed vending. She was constantly getting new jobs.
So he was hustling.
Fired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would fix vending machines. He got fired for that from stealing the change and the candy bars. He was a private investigator for a law firm for a while. And, you know, that didn't pan out. We were constantly moving, too. Like, every year, we would pack up and have to move because the rent wasn't paid, the mortgage wasn't paid, and Jesus. We were off to another small town on Long Island.
Is your mom working at that time or no?
She was always working.
So he's stealing candy from the vending machines that he was supposed to be servicing?
Yeah, yeah, and stealing the change because he was supposed to be collecting the money. And
like, it doesn't sound like a smart thief.
No, never had any thought of what the consequence would be. It was just, oh yeah, we're going to take this and I'll sell this and to steal cigarettes from the machine and sell them to friends to get money and
Jesus
stuff.
Christ.
So he was always scheming. Went out to California, got that a gig being a caretaker of a bunch of land and cattle and things like that. And I went out there and it was great. You know, I'm a kid riding horses, roping, shooting. It was like the old West. It was
you literally were riding horses.
Yeah, horses.
That Italian afro.
The afro,
you had, like really tight pants on, like in a chain.
It was jeans and western shirt, a cowboy western hat.
Oh man, I got to see a picture of this.
Western boots.
I'm gonna next time I come on your show. You gotta put a picture. You have a picture of you like
there
that?
There are some pictures. I think my sister has them. But yeah, I was totally into it. Loved it.
Wow.
Thought it was a great, fun thing to do. And
then he was stealing horses and got caught and got fired. No.
Yeah. They hung him. Horse thieving is a hanging offense out in even in 1975.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Whatever it was. It was. You know, he was always hustling out there too. I remember we had a condo. We rented a condo in a complex, and one day he's like, Anthony, hold the flashlight for me. And we went out to the electric meter, which he pulled off the wall and then jumped with this wire because they had apparently shut the electricity off. And when they did that back then, they would just pull the meter, put insulators on the prongs and put the meter back. Electricity.
Yeah.
He would just take it off and jump the whole meter. And that was it. We'd have electricity until they found that out and locked it up. And then we actually had like kerosene lanterns in the house. It was like,
so now it's like the 1800s.
Now it's like the 1800s again
with western wear, like
yeah, western wear and like lanterns and back then if
engines
you didn't have
are
electricity
coming.
You didn't have cell phones or anything,
right?
There was no other entertainment for you,
so you're basically reading or just
reading by lantern light, like Laura Ingalls. Beans are almost done. Yeah, a harmonica.
I figures we got to be up about 5. Got to rustle rustle up the cattle? What do you mean rustle up the cattle? You work at the YMCA as a custodian.
You work down there, but then...
how did that fucking... How did you not end up being a fucking scumbag and a thief? Well, you're a scumbag.
Yeah,
a
scumbag and somewhat a thief in my younger
because
days.
Because you see that. Like, I had cousins... They were always in and out of trouble. One was running numbers, my cousin Bobby, and he's like, you know, stealing stuff. But yeah. Like he was living in his father's passed away. He's living in this nice house. No visible means of support.
Yeah, I knew some of those.
He's driving a Jag. His wife's driving a Mercedes. She's wearing minks and diamonds. He was running numbers out of his house. The FBI wiretapped him and they got like so you see that in your family and you can either go, well, maybe that's the way to go or this
it was so low level shit. Yeah. Like he wasn't even doing anything that could be conceived of
glamorous.
As, like anything the cops would even want to be bothered with. That's how nothing it was.
Dad, you're such a loser. When you're a loser, you're a loser.
Yeah, yeah. You're thieving some shit and no one even cares. You're stealing shit no one cares about. Oh, a bale of hay. Yeah, let's lift a bale of
hay. Oh, Henry Barr and a bale of hay.
Yeah, so it was always like these just shenanigans that would go on.
Did he ever think, like, well, what kind of an example I'm setting for my kid?
No, that was... He just... All he thought about, I think his most important thing when I finally went out there... Because I was a little geeky nerd kid.
You?
Yeah, I was into chemistry sets and microscopes and model rocketry and shit.
Really?
And I was really skinny and I cried at the drop of a hat as a kid. Like, I would constantly be upset. I have a stomachache. Stop fighting. Like, I was that kid.
I don't see that at all in you.
I was just a little... What would they call him? Faggot. Yeah, I was a little faggot.
Was your nose that big back then?
No, I had a little, I was a cute little kid. That's me right there.
Oh, look at you.
That's my sister Dawn and my brother Joe. We're going to a business meeting, apparently.
I was
selling Amway at the time.
We were looking at a picture for those listening, and there's three cute kids in ties, and your sister is like really dressed up, and you're all carrying suit briefcases.
Yeah, she's got like a brief for a legal. She's going to court.
She's going to get your father out of jail.
Yeah, she's bailing him out. Yeah, my mother was always, you got to be dressed up for this, then put us in. I could give a shit.
So did your mother like ever say to your father, like, what's your dad's first name?
Joey.
Joey, of course. Joey, get your shit together and stop doing
this. Yeah, but that was before the
divorce. Shut up!
Once they were divorced, technically they didn't get divorced until my mother remarried in like the 80s. So they had just been split up. But he went to California. He hooked up with a woman out there, and they stayed together for years and years.
Cowgirl?
But yeah, like a cowgirl. And I don't think he gave a shit. He just wanted me to not be a faggot. That was his goal. Was he used to call it like, oh, you're in man training.
Is that what he's saying to you?
He's like, yeah, hey, you want a beer? Ride this bull for 8 seconds. And I would get on a Brahma bull. It was not one of the big ones that you see, but it was a Brahma bull. Yeah. It was like
a real bull. You're not talking about
side. No, it wasn't one of those.
Oh, the machine.
It wasn't one of the machines. It was
a
real
bull.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And you know, wrap the thing around your hand. And get in the chute and then like nod your head and this thing fucking flies out of there. I go right on my ass and
start crying immediately.
No, I couldn't cry. Oh boy, if I cried. Shit. Oh boy. And then I brushed myself off. I had to run out of the arena because those things turn around to get
right.
you. And he's like, yeah, it was about a second, but yeah, I'll give you a beer. And that was like, oh, I felt cool.
And you're 11 at the time.
Yeah, I think I was like 12.
Are you serious? 12. He's giving you beer at 12?
12, a beer at 12 for staying on the bull.
You know, my grandparents, that generation, they let us have like wine at the table. That was big. Oh, yeah, a little wine's good for you.
Give him a glass of wine. He'll go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
My mother said that.
They used to like soak like... rags and like scotch or whiskey and then let the kids suck on it.
Kids suck on a rag of whiskey. What is that? Is that in the new Journal of Medicine?
Can you imagine that if that came out now? Like, oh my God, Anthony Kubi is letting his kids suck on a rag of whiskey.
Or you're in the supermarket and your kid's in the cart and it's like it just stinks of whiskey. Parents, they'd just be looking like, what the, call the police.
What are you doing?
Call the police. They would call the police on you.
It would, and then, like, if they saw, like, now with the cell phones, you take, there's a birthday party. You take some video and you post it on Facebook.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's, like, little Anthony, whatever, fucking down in, like,
drinking a beer.
Like, he's got a peanut, the grape jelly glasses. Like,
yeah, yeah,
like
with the Flintstones on it.
And it's, like, red wine, little Chianti.
Drinking. We used to, my dad and mom, in between when they were having their bad times,
yeah.
They'd have people over, parties and stuff, and it always looked fun. And they would drink Schaefer beer.
Oh, yeah.
I remember asking dad, you know, oh, could I have a sip? And that was when I was probably 7.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, here, have a sip. And yeah. I'd take a sip of beer. And it would be, like, great. It would be a big production. I'd want to make sure everybody was looking. Look, I'm drinking a Schaefer with the old can opener.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have to put the
seam down the side.
You have to put the two holes so there's airflow to
air kind of coming out and know about fluid dynamics.
Yeah.
Drink.
My father would drink Schlitz and he'd drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, hello.
That's how Italian my uncle Archie. My uncle Archie was. Remember Pabst? Now it's now like all like the jet whatever the fucking like it's the hipsters
stuff,
like
love drinking. Pat, but
and it was like that was a shit beer,
the shittiest beer.
Yeah.
What? How could I get the most beer for the least money?
Right.
Beer.
When we used to go drinking like at 16, and you know we had to like, we fucking pool our money and we would buy that. Perhaps a Narragansett beer.
Meisterbrau.
Right, Meisterbrau.
You could get a case of Meisterbrau for what it would cost for a six-pack of, like, Miller.
Right. But it had higher alcohol content.
Yeah, yeah.
And you also felt, because you were drinking a German beer, like you were getting more fucked up.
Meisterbrau, the master brew,
right,
by the way.
Exactly.
There was always the asshole, though, that came over, like, a six-pack of Meisterbrau, put it in the fridge, and then would grab a Heineken.
Yeah.
It was like, what? I brought beer. Yeah, you brought shit.
It's not
you're drinking the good fucking
It's not
beer.
An even trade.
Well, take my Michelob. You always felt classy if you came over with some Michelob to a friend's house.
Right. Yeah, I'm, those commercials always
just a good friend,
right? Exactly, because the commercials always had a guy in a turtleneck.
Yeah,
in a commercial with like it was like Robert Wagner or something.
Yeah, yeah. That was Weekends were made for Michelob.
Right,
and they would all come in and go, hey, how was the boat today? Oh, my sail came down. It was always some like adults.
It's like that boy. Oh, I need this today.
Oh yeah,
the sail.
You say, bud, what? Yeah, and then the Löwenbräu ones.
My black cabin boy fell over, and I had to make my own sandwich.
The Löwenbräu ones were like, let it be Löwenbräu. Here's to good friends.
Oh, right.
We would always get together, and somebody would say something so profound.
Yeah.
To good friends.
Here it is, look.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Ew.
That sound?
You got a little sound action? Look at that bottle. Okay,
Weekends were made for Michelob.
There it is! Why is the guy singing at the orchestra?
Yeah, what? How did this sell beer?
Who serves this guy with a triple chin serving it? Who drinks beer in a fucking concert, a classical concert?
But he's singing the song of the beer in the commercial for the beer.
If you imagine now, like, look at the commercials that they do now. He's at like some outdoor arena.
Yeah.
And there's a class. Can you imagine now if they had a marketing meeting? Like, yeah, we want to sell the beer. How do you want to do it? We want to film a giant concert with an orchestra.
And then we'll show a guy in a red suit serving Michelob.
And then
get at fired. You're fired.
How about we shoot a fucking duck out of a cannon? Yeah. Done. Yeah. Perfect.
Great. People will be talking about that. It'll go viral.
How about we get midgets to fucking 69 each other?
That'll work.
Ah, it's like, so here's our Italian, by the way. My uncle Archie, he had the barbershop. And
of course.
He had a 4-chair barbershop, which was a pretty big deal. It was a lot of chairs. And it was only a guy's barbershop. So it was only like, there was Playboys. And he only played Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett, mostly Frank Sinatra. He loved Frank Sinatra. He went every year for 35 years that when Frank Sinatra came to Providence Civic Center, he would go. They did a big article about him. Like,
every year. 35 years.
Because that guy, Jesus. Frank Sinatra, to my uncle, is what? I mean, I know he's a punchline, but pick it. I don't know. Justin Bieber is to that age group, right?
That age group.
You know what I mean? Like that. He was like the pop hugest, icon.
The huge pop icon.
Right? So my uncle, then he'd like be cutting my hair, and then all of a sudden a guy would come in and go, hey, how's it going? Hey, what do you got? And my uncle would go, and they'd walk in the back. I don't know what they were doing. They'd close the door, and then the guy would come out, and they'd shake hands, and I'm like, did my uncle just get a hand job from a dude? I'm like, nah, he's an Italian. He wouldn't do that. He was booking numbers out of the back of his
out of the back of the barbershop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, but great guy. And this is how Italian we were. He had, you know, the deli slicers that delis use. He had one of those in his basement, and they would buy the entire loaf of meats.
The thing you see, at the
it's got to be fresh. You know how Italians are; everything's got to be fresh. I'm not kidding you. And you'd open. They had a second refrigerator downstairs, so he had like a block of cheese. He had a block of bologna, like a loaf of bologna, a loaf of cabagol, a loaf of mortadelle, and he and they'd be like, and I because
I remember how thin this is, Jerry. The flavor's got nowhere to hide.
And I look at that now.
Kramer. Yeah. Kramer had the slicer.
The flavor's got nowhere to hide.
Kramer's got nowhere to hide. He's holding a piece of ham.
Exactly. Like, it was like all about the food and the thing. And so I kind of understand, but your dad, you're right, was sort of that.
Oh, yeah. From that whole mindset of, you know, his kids have to, no matter how fucked up I am, my kids have to be this way.
Do you think it worked in making you, the manning you up?
Yeah, it kind of, it was a little goofy. I realized when I was about 16, 17, around there that I was really stagnating there, and I didn't want to turn into this guy that just wore a cowboy hat and drank a 40 and sat around horses. So I came back out to New York.
And you were saying you're living with your mom.
Yes, I came back out to New York to live with my mom and brother and sister. And when
you're in high school, but you didn't. Yeah, you went back to school, but you didn't finish school. And then
No, I couldn't be bothered with the likes of that. High school to me was...
Did you turn into a bully at high school because your dad manned you up?
No. I was the funny guy at school. You could always hang out with... Yeah, could hang out
that
with
was funny, yeah.
group.
Yeah, me
you
too.
You were the funny guy. It was easy.
The big guys liked you because you made them laugh.
Yeah, you make them laugh.
You made me laugh. I'll go kick that guy's ass for you.
Yeah, kick someone else's ass. I'm good. But you'd be comfortable at a jock party or hanging out in the woods with a bunch of the burnouts.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it didn't matter. You kind of fit in because you were the funny guy. So that worked.
That hanging in the woods reminded me of something I did. My brother was getting married to this woman, and it was like, hey, the family should meet. So there was like this thing, you know, I'm going to meet my future sister-in-law's brother, and he's about my age. So we go down like a half-hour drive from Providence in, I think it was Warwick, Rhode Island, anyway. And so they're hanging out in the house, and we go into the woods, and it's cold. It's like February.
Mm-hmm.
And we're drinking beer, and then somebody hits a THC. Now, I had smoked pot at that point, but I'd never done THC. You want to do it? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And I do it, and like within a half hour, my body, I got so hot that it was like literally 14 degrees out, and I'm taking my shirt off.
That's what like nutty people on drugs do.
Yeah.
They rip their clothes off, you're like, why would you do that? Oh, because you're burning up.
Exactly. I was so fucking hot, and I couldn't deal, and I'm drinking, and I'm thinking, and so I'm drinking a lot of alcohol thinking that'll like dilute it, but that's just getting me more fucked up for a different reason. Long story short, then I drove my mother down, and I had to drive my mother back in our yellow Pontiac Bonneville. I was so paranoid and fucked up. My mother, on the highway, your mother is going, why are you driving so slowly?
Oh, no.
I was driving like 35, like 40 at the
moment. I have no idea if you're going 80 or 20.
I'm like complete cotton mouth. I was a mess. Everything was spinning. I got home, and I fucking crawled. You feel right? No, I think I ate something that was wrong, and I just fucking crawled into bed.
Why would you get so fucked up in front of your mom?
I was with him.
That's like the... You would never do that.
I know, but she's over there. I'm in the woods with these kids. I don't want to be like the kid that doesn't take it because everybody else is taking it. So it's definitely like that. Like, I'm definitely one of those guys that, like, sometimes you'll do, well, you know, I was on ONA, right? You know, like, I did shit. Go ahead and do that. Okay.
Sure.
I don't have a strong personal constitution or fucking self-esteem. If I would, I wouldn't be a fucking comic asshole.
Good point.
You know what I mean? So it just, I don't know. And that, you know, it's funny you should say that because when I realized I had to drive my mother back because I was now walking back. I remember saying to myself, why did I take that?
You can get so fucked up.
Why did I pick tonight to experiment with something when I have to drive?
I've never done this drug before. Let me do it and then drive my mom home. The goal as a young guy or even girls was to get fucked up and then avoid your parents at all costs.
Not me.
Trying to get in the door and get to your room without them saying, hey, come on in here or something like that was the goal.
Yeah, not me.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get fucked up. And then not only that, but drive? That's lunacy.
Oh God. So why were you? You were with what they call knock and tin. You were doing.
Oh yeah.
Sheet metal work. How did you get into that?
That was another thing that just. The necessity to earn money for a roof and food. Because for years, I was just kind of knocking around friends' houses.
You're 17, 18, and you're out of school.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not living at home.
Well, I was able to live at home, and then my mom...
You're living it with your mom, faggot?
Yeah, faggy. She was just kind of like, hey, by this time and this month, you got to go. I need to live my life kind of a thing. So I'm like, all right.
She's running a brothel, so
again,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I just didn't think of anything. I'm like, well, I got a place today.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't planning ahead. I was thinking, oh, this date is so far off.
Sound like anybody you know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So the date comes, and I get kicked out of the house, and I'm like, oh, great, I have nowhere to go. So I went over friends' house, slept on couches of my friends for a while, and then I got a job, I think it was installing above the ground pools during the summer.
For that guy?
It was
terrible. You start hitting on the woman?
Oh, always. Hey, yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Mrs. Rizzo, you're looking beautiful.
As I'm drinking out of the hose.
And then somehow the hose slips and it gets all over your head.
Yeah.
And your hose, and everything's wet. And
my afro is now fucking.
And your nipples are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a fucking in slow motion.
You look like a fucking bad Yanni.
Real, yeah.
Stupid looking Yanni with your fucking
terrible.
Kid. And, you're building these pools and
installing above
in Long Island.
Pools out along
Long Island is a place where there was a lot of above ground. Like, we got a 2x2 patch. Put a fucking above ground.
Put a fucking pool there.
How classy are we?
Yeah. But I didn't own the company or anything. I was just working for some guy that did it. So I was making shit. And my brother was working at a sheet metal shop, air conditioning and heating thing. Mm. So he's like, oh, yeah, you can come down here and work. So I got a job there. And it's not brain surgery,
yeah, that would
any stretch of the imagination. So you'll learn, if you have half a brain, you could learn very quickly how to do the shit.
Was it like, hey, Anthony, you're supposed to make that that whole shaft so it looks like a rectangle. You made it into a triangle.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I fucked up.
I thought it'd be good looking.
I was good with the pegs and the little hammer as a kid, but I guess I lost all that. Yeah, so you figure it out and bullshit your way
right
from one company to another, you make a little more money. So that's what I was doing. But the whole time I was in bands. And
well, I read something that you said. People think, or maybe the perception is that I was a sheet metal guy who was into radio, doing radio. I was a radio guy who was doing
Sheet metal.
But when did you know that radio was a thing for you?
Oh man, when I used to listen to radio as a little kid, I was fascinated.
Yeah, you would listen to radio, right?
Yeah, listen to radio, and my dad driving the car. Yeah. Howard tells the same story in private.
Bob Costas says the same thing.
Yeah, and listening to those booming old 70s voices. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? And they were corny, goofy, but you laughed at their
Cousin
dumb
Brucey
jokes. Yeah, like Cousin Brucey and Ron Lundy and all those New York.
What is it with you broadcasters? This, Bob Costas tells a story. He's from St. Louis, and he would lie in bed at night, and he was supposed to be asleep, and he'd sneak a transistor radio into his bed under the covers, and he'd listen to Cardinals games.
Announcers for sports games.
Yeah, and he just was like, he said, I liked the game, I was more enamored with, like, I was really into, like, the broadcaster and how he would describe the game. I think it was Jack Buck at the time. And, like, a lot, like you said, Howard, like,
there's a fascination with me. It was a fascination with the fact that somebody was doing this right then and there. Like, far as I knew.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they did much tracking back then where they pre-taped things. But, like, there was a guy, and he was sitting there, and the image you had of all this shit, and he's just working the equipment, and then he's on the mic, and he's making a joke, and then a song would start. It was fascinating that people did that.
Yeah.
Like, that
it's kind of like that. Isn't there a scene in American Graffiti where they go to
Wolfman
Jack, and he's in this little thing, and...
Yeah, and he kind of pawned off like he wasn't Wolfman Jack, that he was just a guy that worked there and plays a tape, and it turned out it was. And that was kind of fascinating, like the ability to to be able to talk like that to people that are just listening to their radios. Yeah, it was fascinating to me. And they're, like I said, the jokes were corny and dumb, but he was telling a joke.
So did you think that that was where you were going to go? In your,
I didn't
direction?
Think I was going to go anywhere. I never had a plan. I had dreams, but they were so far-fetched and unattainable.
Was it to be a synchronized swimmer?
And yes, that was it. I didn't know how to go about.
What was one of the dreams?
I, like any kid, I guess, I wanted to be like I wanted to be a fucking fighter pilot. That to me would have been the ultimate.
You were a huge faggot at the time.
I was like, I was a fag. I was fucking crying all the time. I'm like, I just dropped the bomb. I hope they're okay.
The helmet's too tight.
Anthony, this is your dad. Stop crying. I'll put a fucking knife through you.
Yeah, it was.
Roger, Dad. I got diarrhea.
My stomach hurts. I have the old school World War II microphone for some reason.
Exactly. I just did a belly roll and my tummy hurts.
Yeah, so, but I never thought about how you go about doing that. Oh, you go to like ROTC something. You go to school after school. You do things. You join the military. You do like all that was no.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I was saying the other day on my show, guys that were into sports and extracurricular activities at school, I never understood it. I would be leaving school at 3 o'clock if I even stayed the whole day and look, and they're walking out onto the field to do something. I'm like, why would you stay longer than you had to here? It was beyond me. Like, you could just be going home now. Why are you staying? Oh, because you want to excel at something.
You want to make something of yourself.
You
want to have focus and drive. Because you don't want to move to California and have to pop the electrical box off and restart.
And turn the electricity on.
Oh.
You know, I get it. You're staying late. You're applying yourself something.
I should try that. Nah, I don't think I will.
Nah, I'm going to go home and watch fucking TV.
Well, you weren't into sports?
No, never. Hated.
You didn't like the competition, the thing? Sports.
I just didn't like the what seemed to me to be a useless expenditure of energy.
We're going
to
put this round ball in that basket.
Yeah,
why?
Why? I could be home watching Gilligan's Island or...
You know, you could be Jewish, too.
Oh, really?
You sound like a...
People
like a,
say that.
Like, why? I could be home watching Gilligan's Island.
I was always into... Well, the TV to me was my life.
Yeah, I love
like,
TV, yeah.
That was all I ever wanted to do.
Was it because your life wasn't great and you kind of got your mind off shit?
Yeah, that's probably a lot of it.
Yeah.
But...
the part where I make you cry.
It was, that's not hard to do if I was a kid.
Oh, right, exactly.
I don't think I've cried in fucking 20 years. I'm just a rock. But the TV was something because I loved doing impressions.
Yeah,
I loved learning lines.
You have a really good skill like for impressions.
That I loved doing it, and I could make my family laugh at Thanksgiving and Christmas by impersonating what I used to see on TV.
Yeah, I used to in the family trips. I would make my family laugh. Yeah,
make them laugh, and it was the greatest fucking thing.
And I used to watch. My only thing I'd ask is if it was a comedian on the Tonight Show. I was like, please, can I stay up? And I'd watch, and then I'd go into school and I'd do some of the guys' jokes, like Rodney.
Right, right,
and they'd be like, whoa. And I don't know. I tell them I'm not. They knew it was real comedian stuff. But the feeling of like whoa, like
yeah, I'm telling just, some jokes and people are laughing. And
I never got laid, but you know,
what's this doesn't get me laid.
That comes later.
Yeah.
If you're funny later in life,
right.
in your teens, I think it really starts picking up.
Right. So now, do you know you're a kid? Now this radio thing kind of kicks in, but again, you're just kind of. Going along and like, oh, I don't know, whatever pile of shit I'll fall into.
Yeah,
I'll fall.
Very reactive, not proactive as far as what I was doing in life. I would react to everything and not really think about.
And you had enough money, you were living on your own.
I had roommates.
Yeah.
I rented the upstairs half of a house kind of a thing.
Probably be an okay roommate.
Had some roommates. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, my buddies Joe Curry and Adam Ferrara would come over and...
You know Adam going back then?
I've known Adam for forever.
Oh. And
before any of
did
us...
Did he know he was going to be a comedian then?
He always wanted to be. He was one of the funniest friends I have, you know, so...
He was always a very funny guy, and he went to some comedy competition in the Mayfair Shopping Center out on Long Island, and we went, and he destroyed, just killed. It was an open mic kind of comedy competition, and from that day, people started coming up to him and saying, hey, you know, there's a club here, you should go there, and that was it for working for a living for him. He got into comedy after that.
I didn't know you guys knew each other. So how did you... So the radio thing came in because you started doing like a nighttime radio thing, right?
Yeah, I was always into I had bands. Me and my brother were in bands for years and years, always, because the thought of doing sheet metal work and having nothing else to
really you forward, that doesn't something you would want to do the rest of your life.
I know. Yeah, it couldn't happen. At least with a band, even knowing that it's nearly impossible to do anything in music and be successful at it and make a living off of it, at least it was something to hold on to.
Because
we would walk around, there were these old tin knocker guys, and I say old, they were probably younger than I am now, but to me they were just old, and they looked and seemed old, and they were just like every day putting their tool belt on. And you know they were just going to die doing this.
My father was like that. My father put floors in for a living. It was bull work, and his knees were the size of like small basketballs. He used to have to get his knees drained.
Constantly on
the
knees.
And I would work with him and like carry these rolls of linoleum, which were like 200-300 pounds. And we lived like in a tenement house, and so he would do a lot of people in the neighborhood. And it was these tenement houses. And I think at one point he just was like, man, when is that heart attack coming?
I just can't take this anymore.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He loved this.
Something like to look forward to, that maybe something might happen.
So you had ambition. You joke like you didn't, but you did.
Yeah, but I had ambition to do things that didn't take a lot of ambition. Like, I didn't have ambition to go, I'm going to go to business school and open up my own business and corporation. Or that. Yeah. It was like, oh, I could get up and sing some songs with my brother. I hope I get rich doing that. Like, that was it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to write some songs. You're like, why do we got to write songs?
Right.
Yeah. All these songs, we could just copy them.
They're cover tunes. Yeah. People love them. I wrote song parodies, though. That's what I used to do, and back then they were all the rage on radio.
Yeah,
a good song parody, holy shit, because there was so many bad ones.
And Opie had a show, and he
Opie was doing the nighttime attitude on BAB,
and he had a particular song that was a parody that kind of set him, kind of got him a little notoriety, right? And then you guys kind of started to know each other through circles.
As a matter of fact, an O.J. Simpson song parody.
Right,
I wrote that. My brother played the music on it. Opie was playing it on his show because my brother was, again, the ambitious one.
I read the O.J. thing. I can't remember now. I read what song was it?
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, and it was Gonna Electric Shock O.J. It was when we all thought he might be guilty and that he would get the electric chair.
Oh, that's...
Even though at the point, I don't think there was a death penalty in California. Yeah. So whatever. Yeah. It didn't need to be accurate legally. But it was a funny song.
They were huge.
People liked it. And Opie played it on his show, and people requested it all the time.
Now, were you an insane Howard fan at this time?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Crazy Howard fan.
The connection because he's a Long Island kid and everything.
I would sit in my work truck until they were done with the show. I was supposed to be doing the job. And sometimes, as you know, that show went on till 11:30.
Anthony, get in. Howard's not done. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Howard's not done. Hang it yourself. Fuck it. I would just listen to Howard because it was the funniest, most like honest, just guys bullshitting show. And that also got me like, God, I want to do this so bad. And then Opie invited me and my brother to come in and do the song live on his show.
How did he get their hands on?
My brother was sending the tape out to all the radio stations.
Wow.
So we did, I guess, Chaz was the DJ up at WPLR.
Yeah, he's still there. I do his show.
Is he? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went on his show.
Yeah.
Me and Joe went on there.
Chaz and AJ is in there.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, he's still there. He's in three markets.
That was like 20
years ago.
I didn't
know you know him. You know, I'll tell you when I see him. He might come down to a taping of the Colbert Show with his girlfriend.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, he's a nice, super nice guy.
Yeah, we did his show. We did, there it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's Chaz on the left. Yep. Funny dude.
Yeah.
Really runs a tight show, too. Like, he works at it, and it's like...
Oh, yeah. It's a radio show.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and there's a lot... They play a fair amount of music, but he's good. He's a really good dude.
Yeah. And then Opie invited me and Joe to come in and do it live. So we did that. And then me and Opie started talking. And I started talking during the breaks he was doing about the news and stuff like that. And he's like, wow, that's, I was throwing everything I could at him. Impressions, fucking shit.
So in your head, you're thinking maybe I can
like,
do something.
I gotta, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't just like you being just whatever and it just happened. You were like.
No, I was like, maybe I
could. Oh, look at you. You got focused.
Yeah,
now.
I got focused at that point. And he was like, come in, you know, next week and come in on Thursday, come in on Tuesday and Thursday. And then after a while, he was taping all the shows that we were doing. He would tape every night and started sending it out to other radio stations to see if we could get a job.
Wow.
We got a call from AAF in Boston and got an interview, went up there. And by the time we got back to New York, there was a message on the answering machine saying that we had the job.
Why do you think they hired you so quickly?
I think they saw something. They saw something. This was...
And also, you guys were, and I don't mean this as an insult, but, or a slight, in the mold of Howard in a way. In
yeah,
terms
it was
of
a...
Prank. There's that part of it.
It was very shock jockey.
Yeah, and I imagine that everybody's looking for the next Howard, right?
Howard, the next shock jock show, the next kind of irreverent, oh my God, what are they going to say next show?
Right.
And we were younger than Howard. We were kind of raw, you know, not polished.
Yeah.
And I think they liked that. They wanted that. AAF was a station that was, they were playing alternative rock, grunge shit.
Yeah.
They kind of wanted a show that was rough around the edges and kind of grungy.
Yeah.
So yeah, they picked it up. I started making... I was making $500 a year less than I made knocking 10. I was making shit knocking 10. But they told me that if it works out in 6 months, they were going to raise me up to $35,000.
We're going to raise you up, and this office building needs all new ductwork.
Yeah,
we're going to give you that work.
They constantly were telling me that. Hey, the air conditioner. Maybe Anthony could.
Are you serious?
I don't do that anymore.
I don't know. You've been away for a while. I don't know. I told you. I don't fucking fix air conditioners.
Hey, what are you fucking stupid? You fucking.
Go get your fucking tin snips. Yeah.
Well, AAF was a couple of years, right?
Yeah, AAF was 3 years.
But then you got. Did you get booted? You did something up there? Or did you?
Yeah, we said on April Fool's. We said that the mayor of Boston, Mayor Menino, had been killed in a car crash while he was in Florida. And he was indeed in Florida. The worst timing was he was on a plane coming back when we did this. So no one could get in touch with him. You know, the mid-90s. No one could get in touch with him to confirm or deny or make sure he was okay. So people started getting a little panicky. Even though it was so goofy, we kind of started elaborating on the story and saying, oh, we're getting reports now that there was a young Cuban boy in the car with him. Like, it just got crazy.
So you knew, like, people should know.
Yeah, anyone knew that this wasn't
But did you
real.
Think it was going to be like, this could get us in trouble, or did you?
No, I was so, even though this was probably 2-3 years into doing radio, I was still... on this high, like, I can't believe this is my fucking job. I had gotten raises.
Did you have an
making money now?
Did you and Opie have an internal governor, like, aside from the, like, knowing, like, there's certain things we can't do, like shoot a guy in the head on the air, but, like, you ever say internally to yourself, like,
ever?
No, we shouldn't do that.
Anything
That's
went.
That's awesome.
And we knew it.
Did you ever get slapped down by the management, say that was a little too far, don't do it again?
They would come in. During the show, we would go to music because we played music too, but we started talking a lot more and more and more and cutting songs. But the ratings kept going up, so they weren't really going to argue.
It's
but,
the opposite now. They say when the songs are playing and people talk, the ratings go down.
The ratings go down. So they, we had our PD would come in and be like, he tried to be diplomatic, but you could tell he was so pissed. And PDs know not to yell at a show while they're still doing the show.
Yeah, PD's a program director for those listening. Yeah.
So he would come in and be like, guys, you gotta stay away from the gay material. Like we have a lot of complaints. This was back in the 90s, so this politically correct thing was trying to build up steam, I guess. How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell now.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's like, you gotta stay away. So we're like, oh, okay.
and then he would leave, and we would do it twice as bad the very next break. Like it
what
was,
kind of shit were you saying? What were you doing?
We were doing like song parodies. The remember when that Volkswagen commercial came out where it was like da da da.
Oh yeah,
it was like supposedly two gay guys in this car and stuff. We just started going off about them fucking each other in the ass in Volkswagen, but you know, using FCC compliant stuff. But English. Gay guys were just getting sending letters to the station and wanting to have meetings so they could tell us how hard it is to come out to their parents because we were goofing on that. We had a bit called "Hey Mom, I'm Gay." And guys, we'd patch them in to their moms, and they would call up and tell their moms that they were gay.
Legitimately.
No, but they weren't really gay. And gays went crazy. They started
saying,
they
got mad at that?
Yeah, you know how difficult it is to come out? Some people kill themselves. They say, shut the fuck up. They We're don't just
have
having any, fun.
They have, especially gay men, have no sense of humor.
No sense of humor, especially about the gay thing.
Ugh, they're the worst.
Hey, look, a dick in another man's ass is funny.
It's funny.
It's just funny.
It's funny. It's funny. It makes you squirm a little bit, but then you laugh.
Then you just chuckle and laugh.
Once it's in you, it's all it's party time.
It's just a party, and it's jokes.
I remember my father would say that to me every time, just before it would enter.
Right.
It's going to score. It's going to prick a little, and then boom.
Be a pisser. So, you know, and they would be mad. We'd be in meetings all the time with them, telling us what to do, what not to do.
But you know, you're doing the right thing.
We knew because those ratings, as long as those ratings went up, and me and Opie were like ratings driven. We were obsessed with getting ratings.
But that becomes the issue with, and that's what, kind of, you know, led to our thing with the church, which was the Voyeur Bus. Before that, is the nature of this kind of radios is you have to keep topping yourself because
at the time it was the key thing to do. What can we do now? We did that, but that was yesterday. Right. They're only going to listen to that and talk about that for a little while.
Right.
We need to do something else that's even bigger.
Right, and it's not just you and Opie. More importantly, it's the nature of your fans.
Yes,
and of any shock jock radio, and I've done them all across the country doing promoting my shows and stuff, is they're these like, come on, what the fuck kind of guys. They're not like the teetotaler, like, well, they might be accounts, but it's these fucking guys that like with thick necks or whatever, like wise asses that go, well, yeah, that was kind of cool. You did that yesterday. You know, you punched a nun, but you know, why don't you, you know, why don't you fucking rape a puppy? Come on.
Hey, come on. Puppy rape
so
day.
So you feel it, which is very underrated.
Ratings though. Yeah, what a ratings grab.
You can't say rape. You have to say puppy violation day.
Right. But you know what we're talking about. Right,
exactly.
Right?
Or we just call it Bill Cosby day and everybody gets it. But so you feel that pressure, right? So now you're in New York, right? And and I felt it as a guest. Like, you come on, and every time you come on, it had to be, you know, I did the, we did the Kathleen Turner thing.
Kathleen Turner was on stage, Broadway play, and you were in the audience, and it was,
there's a moment in the play where she takes her clothes off,
and you yelled from the crowd, put your goddamn clothes on to her.
Yeah.
And recorded it.
Yeah.
And we played it and thought it was fucking fantastic because it was crazy.
Yeah.
Who does that shit? Yeah. It's nuts. It's shocking.
And you know, nobody really got hurt. I feel bad about it now because I'm a performer.
And
I'm naked and whatever. What a dick I was.
Oh, God.
We were pretty smart the way we dealt with it, though. We had to go, Rick and I had to go in the men's room, and he had the recorder and he handed it under the
thing.
Like
the mob.
Yeah, it was crazy.
The wire put on.
And then, like, And the ushers didn't know who did it, you know?
So
they came over.
It's like triangulation. If you say one thing, they could maybe look in the direction.
Right.
But unless you say something again,
Like, and then I was like, I want my money back. I'm outraged. I had no idea that there was, and then they gave me my money back. I was kind of proud of that. We buttoned it in a really nice way. That we got out of it. We got out. But you could feel it. It looked, at the time you couldn't, but now from the 30,000 foot view, you could see how it was. Like, then there was a Voyeur Bus, and I was supposed to work with Lewis Black that night, and Lewis and Jim
Lewis
Norton
to jail,
went to jail.
Went to jail for the Voyeur Bus.
Yeah.
It was a big glass-sided bus that drove around New York City with nude girls, topless girls wearing thongs.
and taking, there was a shower in there, there was a bed, and they were just driving, and not just driving, you know, down fucking 3rd and Broadway. Fucking Broadway.
They were like, where are the school kids getting out?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
People were chasing it with cameras, and it was crazy. And the cops pulled that thing over, and everyone went to jail that was on that bus. Just fucking nuts.
Did you get dressed down by the station over that?
Yeah. We kind, but not that bad.
Because they knew you were doing it, right?
Yeah, they knew. They knew we were doing everything.
Yeah, they knew the O&A thing. Just
blew something out at an event like that.
No, that's why I always thought on the St. Pat's thing was the big fuck you to them, because you didn't do it behind their back.
No,
it didn't go well.
Right.
Okay, but like, it's like you can't. You fucking sanctioned it, and you knew
that
there's a chance. I remember saying in the pre-production meeting, so I actually went, has anybody ever gotten arrested for this? And you all like laughed at me like, because the cops loved you guys.
Yeah, yeah, we had
you
a
could
lot
do
of
no wrong.
Friends. But the white shirts came out, and that was it. Once Brass.
The St. Pat's thing with the cop told me when I was getting booked, which was... we had to do it because the mayor's office called.
Yeah, yeah.
Heard it and was like, it was too much in the face of, too much of a fuck you to the establishment.
It was just, yeah, that's what it was. That, that really started the decline of shock jock radio. Like, I think we
think so?
Did have, yeah, after that, once... we were very, very high rated.
Yeah.
A very high rated program.
To the point where you were, I don't want to say feuding, but you and Howard were he was not a fan of yours, and I think part because he was probably threatened.
Yeah, right? There was a threat there. He thought like, oh, these guys can get an audience. Right. Oh, we share a lot of audience, you know. They're kind of
maybe
you
know, felt like you were
light of me at times. So yeah,
maybe you were.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he might think maybe we were making some light.
So how was that weird though? Because you like idolized him and sit in your truck and not shitting on him.
It was.
So what
kinda,
changed for you? Did you turn into a? Let me ask you. Did you turn into a dick, or did he really justify getting criticized?
Well, you know what? Just listening to him as a fan. You know, you get what everybody gets. It's Howard. It's hilarious. I love the show. When you work for the same company and you see that he's pulling some shit behind the scenes to shut us up and give a shit, you start thinking, oh, okay, that funny guy on the radio is kind of a dick.
Oh, right.
In real life.
Yeah.
And you just throw a little back at
him.
It's
like the Pope.
Yeah.
Pope's the same way. From the outside looking in, he's fine. But when you're in fucking Vatican City,
the Pope,
he's a cock
he's
to the other
asshole.
Fucking priest. Okay, he's
tell
a
me
fucking,
about it.
Yeah, you know,
fucking.
It's like, hey, you hear Cardinal Rossi gay?
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's dropping gay shit.
Gay. That goddamn Pope. But Howard, I never just would shit on Howard. I always tried to make it funny, like do an impression or some kind of weird joke kind of a thing. Now, because what are you going to say? Oh, he sucks. No, he doesn't. And he's got a lot of fans that are going to go, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
So you couldn't take that route. You couldn't go, oh, why do you listen to him? He sucks.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. But, you know, he started talking about going out to the Hamptons. So make a bit about that. Like Howard out in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Taking the Howie Copter out there. And, you know, it kind of...
Howie Copter.
It kind of made it look like, oh, wait a minute. Why? He's kind of acting like those people that he goofs on.
Yeah.
In that way,
right.
Kind of shit on him. But it was never just come in to New York, his territory, and go, oh, this guy blows, listen to us.
No, it wasn't.
Just go, hey, fuck you, we're not.
No, it was just a pussy passive-aggressive way that you would shit on
exactly,
him.
Exactly, a pussy passive-aggressive way, because that's what radio is all about.
Because going back to your father, you're a faggot.
Faggot. Faggot.
Could you say faggot? Were we able to say faggot then on the air?
There was a time we were able to, and then they put a stop to that at NEW. They slowly started cutting our... little armor piercing rounds down.
I gotta tell you, some of the most fun radio I've still have ever done is when we would all just start shitting on it. Like, you know, it was me. It would be like a mini roast, just impromptu. It was like Boss and Patrice and me and you. And, and at some point, Opie would like put one of us in the barrel, as we used to call it. Right?
Yeah, in the barrel. And then you'd just be shit on.
Yeah.
Oh, if you said something and it didn't go over.
Oh. Brutal.
You thought it was great. You're brutal. Like, yeah, and you did. Oh, you trip up or yeah. you fucking.
And then there's like, and then it's like an off ramp on the highway where now everybody is now shitting. Like, he was fine. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We were shitting on Anthony, right? And then, like, I stumble on a word and it's off Anthony. And it's like,
what happened? Yeah. I was just one of the guys. Right.
And then
it turned on me.
And eventually it's like you're fucking, it's like you're beating like baby seals with a club. And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm bored with beating that one. I'm going to go beat the boss one. Then I'm going to go beat yeah. the Paul Mercurio one.
What did I hear? Oh, you fucked up a word.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but that was the sensibility of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the St. Pat's thing happened and it's like, you know, you feel, and there's no justification, you know, we've talked about this, like, you know, that it was everybody's fault. You know, there's definitely like, when I was on that thing and you guys said, go in the church.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not passing the buck.
No.
There was always that thing. Like, I remember saying to myself, I'm not going to go in the church. But I'm like, but if I don't go in the church and they find out, this is going to be hung over my head by these fucking assholes.
Wasn't it?
Because now we were like brothers, right?
Yeah,
like
it was
literally like, I literally, I know where I was standing was on 55th between 5th and 6th. And the cop was on the corner. It was a Baptist church. It was locked. And I'm like, I'm going to go. We did it. They did it. And like, you were the one that said it, by the way. You went, no, you got to go in. I go, what do you mean? You got to go in. I go, but it's locked. He goes, you got to go in to get the
point. Got
to
go in.
And I remember going to myself, I'm not going in. And then I go, they're going to find out. Like, these yahoos that I was with, they're going to like say something that yeah. they didn't really go in. And it was going to be hung over my head for fucking ever. And I, you know, and so, and you were like the one, you were the one person through all of that on that side of it. Cause for a while we were, you know, everybody was like figuring out like who's at fault. You were the one person that said the one thing that I thought was like mature. You said this word, it was inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do think, like, if it weren't, you know what I mean? It was like it was a build, right? From Menino to the Voyeur bus.
Yeah, how was that going to play out any differently?
Yeah.
We just kept doing it and going more and more.
Do you think your ratings would have really suffered if you'd kind of started to level off?
No.
Of like, yeah.
No. That was us, like, being obsessed with keeping it going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, you know, we thought that was, it was all for ratings and that, but... maybe it would have suffered. I don't really know, but because that was weird. It was that was the time, but it was kind of the tail end of it. Once the internet really started kicking in, shock jock radio just wasn't shocking
right.
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You could see a guy blowing a llama.
Yeah, yeah. I could see a lot of shit here.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, oh, you're going to, oh, wow. You're
you know
telling
what?
Me a girl has her tits out.
Right. But to me, the spine of the show and what made it great, and it's still what you do, on this show is there was sort of a frankness. There wasn't a cheesiness to it still existing in radio. And I think that was the attraction of Howard, right? Like there was a real,
right.
when you take away the, you know, having a chick come in and put whipped cream on her ass or whatever, like, you know, whatever you guys were doing and we were doing, or the, you know, telling someone to put their clothes on in the middle of a fucking Broadway play. There was a thing of like, keeping people honest, and that I think was refreshing and new to people.
Yeah, when comics came on, you know, you guys would come on the show. It wasn't about doing your act. It wasn't about
you'd get shit on if you did your act.
Yeah, it wasn't about us setting you up for, you know, one of your classic bits that you did. It was about,
hey, I got a bit about shoe polish.
Yeah. Oh, well, let me write that down so I could cue you on it.
Well, what happened to everybody listening? If a comic went in and didn't know that, and what they would do is they'd say, oh yeah, sure. And then we could say it with a shoe polish bit, and then proceed to go, so he came in here with a shoe polish.
Yeah.
Bit,
yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
And that would be the whole
appearance.
What the
fuck are you doing? You're killing me here. Yeah, it was all about funny people hanging out and talking, not doing an act or anything like that. It was honest and talking about their lives,
real
life shit. Like over the course of all the years I've done radio, I talked about everything. Like there wasn't any aspect of my life that didn't end up on the fucking radio.
Did you have a problem with that ever?
Nah, not a problem. Sometimes you go home and go, oh God, that's, you know.
Well, what it was it's a precursor to reality TV.
Yeah, you're giving people.
You were the host, and Howard, same thing, would sort of like go, okay, I'm going to just use my life to kind of fuel the content of this show and then that, do that with other people.
And that's what gives a show longevity over just the shocking shit. You know, you could just be a goofy character doing shock radio, and once the shock shit's gone, no one's going to give a...
But here's the problem with every performing artist, not a musician, but a, particularly comedians and radio hosts, is that what path do you take when you're... Are you going to grow with your audience and get older with your audience and acknowledge it? Or are you going to continue to try to be... Like, there are some comics that were crushing it with 20-year-olds, and then 10 years later, they're still trying to cater to 20-year-olds.
Right.
When they should, I think, just be playing to the people that and acknowledging where they are in their life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, does radio let you kind of age gracefully and connect with those people, or do you have to move out so some other 20-something-year-old guys come in and do the shock jock thing?
Yeah, I think it's hard to keep relevant to people that are a lot younger than you comedically.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do. I think if you're able to be funny about your life at 20, you should be able to be funny about your life at 30 or 40 and attract that audience. It's kind of pathetic when you're trying to cater to people that are 20 years younger than you.
Yeah.
It's just hard to do.
Yeah. Well, but that doesn't keep you from going to community colleges to pick up chicks.
No. I just mean comedically and on the radio and shit. As far as fucking goes, of course. Wouldn't want to.
Are you going to vote for Trump, by the way?
Yeah, I'd vote for him in a second. I'm going to vote for whoever the Republican nominee is, because I can't fucking stand the idea of Hillary or Bernie.
Why?
Bernie, first of all, the socialist thing, the free stuff that he wants to give out costs something.
Yeah.
It costs real money.
Yeah.
And where does that come from? Taxpayers. I'm a taxpayer. I don't want to pay for all this bullshit.
Yeah, but you only make
90% tax bracket.
You only make tin knocker money. You're not making
tin knocker money. Yeah, you know, I just don't understand how people fall for that whole thing. And then Hillary's just this entitled bitch.
Yeah.
Who was married to the president while he was getting his dick sucked.
Yeah.
Did
you ever have Monica Lewinsky on your show when that went down?
No, we.
That would have been a perfect. What do you?
Would have been good. I know she wasn't talking to anybody. Oh boy, no way.
How many strippers would you end up going out with who came on the show? Did you end up like banging any of them?
No, I don't think so. Maybe a couple early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your dick's pretty good. Like there's no, you got no diseases?
No, fucked out.
He was just knocking on his dick.
Not even, yeah, there's my dick.
That was the wood.
Oh, there's crabs jumping off of it when I knock. What happened? The termites.
But Hillary will probably get it.
She'll get the nomination.
Because I think what people do is they date. Like, you know, you date and you do crazy shit with the slutty girl, but then you marry the nice girl, right? So Bernie's like the slutty girl. You go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Same with Trump. Like, I don't think Trump ends up, like, lasting through the thing.
No, I think it'll probably be Cruz and Hillary for president. It could change. I would vote for Trump just in the fact that, like, I couldn't...
Just to fuck with
the system. I just want the system fucking different. Have a monkey wrench thrown into it.
You should run for mayor.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do if you ran for mayor?
There isn't enough out there that they could just pop up and put on and say, really? This guy?
No, like everybody's done everything now, right?
That's true.
And they know.
Yeah. We're going to have to get a lot more lax on criticism of politicians as time goes on because, you know, these are people that are kids now that are going to get older and their whole life is just on permanent record now.
You should run for mayor and appoint me police commissioner.
Police commissioner.
And that'll come out. The same pass thing will come out.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll say, you know, it's water under the bridge.
Oh, no. We've grown since then.
We've grown.
We've matured. That was a long time ago.
Are you going to have a kid ever?
No, I don't think so. I can't imagine the...
Why?
Ah, God. The thought. I have a cat.
You have a cat?
I pour the food.
You have a cat. You should have a dog. You're a fucking ballsy fucking shock jock guy.
I say this all the time. It's why I don't have a dog. A few weeks back, I decided at 4 a.m. on a Thursday night, Friday morning, that I wanted to go to the Borgata. I called the Borgata. They send a car for me. I look at my cat. I fill up two bowls with food. There's my cat.
That's your cat?
Yeah, he's awesome.
It's the gayest looking cat then I've ever seen.
I turn the water on in the sink.
No, seriously, hang on a second. That cat looks like it's like a fat. It's a fat cat.
Well, no, he's a Bengal.
What is that? You with him?
Yeah. See, he hangs out with me. Fucking, you know.
Did you ever like
scratch him? Shooka. He's doing a headstand there. I don't know.
Did you ever put your dick on his neck?
Not a lot.
You just try.
Not all the time.
Try it once. It's very underrated. But, so you drive the thing leave. And you went to the.
And then I leave, and then I come back, and the cat's just like, doesn't even know I was gone. Doesn't care. Like that's great. If you have a kid, forget about it. If you have a dog,
no, we do the same thing for our kid.
What do you do? Oh, you just—that's what I was saying.
I got a call.
Be able to put out Gerber baby food. Leave the sink running.
You just leave the thing.
Yeah,
you can't leave the toilet because you might fall in the toilet.
They fall in toilets. Apparently.
So for 2 days he can go and he can soil himself.
Right,
and it's not a big deal. And then you come home, and he appreciates you more because he's been alone. You leave the TV on.
Leave the TV on all the time.
Usually I leave it on the most violent channel.
They have to learn.
I leave him on Fox News so he can see those scary William Devane catheter
first
commercials.
Words will be gold and catheter. Yes. He needs a catheter that won't hurt.
I got fucking gold catheters. That's what I got.
That's an amazing thing. Combine the two. Yeah, that guy. I know about pain. When I have a catheter, I don't want the pain. That's why I have whatever it is. My beveled eyelet catheter.
I was thrown off a bull several times and broke a rib.
Broke a rib, yeah, that guy. I hate the catheter.
I don't have a pelvis. As a result, I need catheters.
I need catheter. When I want to stick a fucking crazy straw up my dick hole, I call United Catheter Company.
A crazy straw up my dick hole. Yeah, you know this guy Joel Osteen? The guy,
the religious guy, right?
Yeah, he was on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. That guy's a creepy dude.
He is so creepy. I follow him on Twitter, and
oh, you do?
Just to read his creepiness. Like I'll see, like you'll have a joyous day if you just find it in your heart to.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck does this even mean?
Yeah.
Like I read him, it's like a fortune cookie.
He's like a boy band minister. That's what he is.
Yeah. That guy. Oh, open a closet and fucking. A tar pit worth of skeletons will fall out of that fucking thing. You gotta know it.
Put him back up there for a second. That's a guy that inspires hatred.
Yes.
Look at the hair. And he came and he had super tight jeans on.
Ooh.
And he had like cowboy boots, but the jeans had a crease in them. He's one of those guys.
Always suspect of people like this that are so over the top religious and moral. And you just know that. Once that front door
closes,
you might as well be in the warehouse of fucking Reservoir Dogs with Mr. White. You might as well be in there once that door closes. It's all nice outside. The birds are chirping.
Why is this pen off the cap? No, Joel, no. I don't like the pen off the cap. Joel, I'll put it. Go to your room.
I don't care what you know or don't know. I'm going to torture you anyway. That's the answer.
Exactly.
Steal his wheel.
Oh God! That's what I think
about that guy. Like,
and he's got kids. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, poor things.
But don't you think the kid would soften you a bit? You're a nice guy, but maybe
might. I don't know. You know,
you can't jerk around as much. There you go. There are the kids. Oh my God, that boy on the right is super gay.
Oh my God, he raised the gayest. Is that the mother?
The mother's
like,
hot.
Is the mother holding the kids like that love move?
Yeah, exactly.
What is this?
Yeah.
They're swingers with their own
kids. The father's banging the daughter. The mother's banging the son. It's called the Joel Osteen hour.
That's creepy.
Yeah, there's a thing there where like she comes out in 5 years and says she's got like marks on her back.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's not even her own tit. Like she had to have, he fucking broke her tit and she had to put a new tit on. And that kid. It is like totally.
Mom's hand just goes down.
Oh, and then all of a sudden, this is like.
Oh my
God. I got a hard on right now. I got to be.
Yeah, that was very hot. That was a hot little fucking recitation of.
So, where do people see your AnthonyCumia.com?
Yes, that would be.
I want to keep talking to you, but I know you got to go out.
I know. I got a prior engagement.
What time is your thing?
Well, I have a reservation at 8:30, but I wanted to kind of grab a drink or something.
All right, so
you know how it goes.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're gonna go.
AnthonyCumia.com, and there's a bunch of shows on the network that are very entertaining. They're live in HD video. And it's a lot of fun. It's been great to do. There's no boss. There's no more bullshit as far as that. It's scary. It's, you know, it's my whole deal here. So, you know.
It's your money?
Swim kind of a thing.
Do your money in this?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have anybody? You don't have a partner?
No, I financed.
You didn't find like a Jewish fucking garment district guy?
No, I was like, I am financing this project.
So then no one can tell you whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the only way I could do radio or radio, TV, internet vision, whatever it's called.
This is one of the things where somebody said, you'll never work in this business again. And Anthony goes, it's true. I won't. I
have to make my own
network.
I can now broadcast. Yeah, I got to the point where I had to actually make my own network to broadcast from.
You go from fucking Tin Knocker, you figure out the fucking Golden Goose, and then you're like, nah, this is too easy.
I'm out of this. Fuck it.
I'm going to make
whatever I want.
I'm going to make my, and then you're going to fuck this up and you're going to have to create your own economy to work in.
I was, yeah.
You're going to have to buy an island.
I was saying the only way I could really get fired now is villagers with pitchforks and torches that just chase me away because of the horrific things.
Yeah, but the way you would do it, they would show up in a giant bus showering each other.
Showering, and then we would get hauled away to jail. Yes.
No, I think, you know, look, jail's been in our lives. We'll always have that.
We'll always have that connection,
We'll always have that night. We'll always have springtime. We'll always have, I don't know, what is it? We'll always have, what is it? What does he say, Humphrey Bogart say? What is he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
We'll always have that thing, whatever.
Yeah, we'll always have
this. This is going well, though. You're good.
Thing.
You know what I like about this? I've been here a couple times. No blacks.
Yeah, we,
I don't see any black
trying
people.
Trying to,
no, I'm
get more diverse.
Yeah.
I think
you don't have to say that. You're not FCC. You can say whatever you want.
Luis J. Gomez is Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
he's on Legion of Skanks.
That's just a dirty.
That's close.
It's just a dirty, dirty Spanish guy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the low rent.
Yeah, I'll probably get fucking Al Sharpton protesting outside that we're not diverse enough.
Well, listen, you have me. I'm Italian.
All Italian.
You're Italian.
This has been.
It's nice to see that there's a network owned by somebody who's Italian.
An Italian, yeah. Now the Jews don't own everything.
Right.
Podcasting.
Usually we're the guys delivering Coke to the guys who run the network.
Right.
All right, man. You're the best.
Thank you.
AnthonyCumia.com. See his show, a lot of the great shows. And this is going to run forever. And you need to get yourself a deli slicing machine for the
Apparently,
basement.
Apparently, that's what I'm taking away from this whole thing.
All right.
We just did, Paul.
All right. And you get 4 gold coins as a result of doing this. And a catheter for your
meet and greet.
And a meet and greet for your fucking old Italian for your old Italian stinky penis. Anthony Cumia, everybody.
Thank you, sir.